Hello everybody, it's Jeff here with another reading from Esther Vilar's mind-blowing book, Manipulated Man. And I just want to make a correction to my last reading. I said, as in my comments, I said that you shouldn't pump and dump. And I think I've been thinking about that actually, and it does sound terribly blue pill, so I want to just qualify what I said by saying, by all means, pump and dump, but I would say to, if you were want to do that, I would, tell the girl up front and say you're only interested in one night stand or casual sex or something like that, and that can avoid a lot of problems. Okay, so this next chapter is called Her Stupidity Makes Woman Divine. Only the oppressed have any real need of freedom. Yet as soon as they are free, and providing they have the intelligence to weigh their freedom against the possible consequences, this need changes. The former, longing for freedom, reverts to a sense of fear, accompanied by an intense longing to be tied and secure. In the first years of life, man is never free. He is hemmed in by adult rules. And having no experience of social conduct to guide him, he is entirely dependent on them. As a result, he develops an acute desire for freedom and feels a desperate need to escape from his prison at the first opportunity. Once a human being is free, if it happens to be rather stupid, and women are stupid, it will be quite happy with its freedom and try to retain it. As an unintelligent human being is incapable of abstract thought, it will never feel the need to leave its familiar terrain, and consequently will never fear that its very existence might be threatened. It is not afraid of death because it cannot imagine it. There is no need to find a meaning or reason for life. Its desires are fulfilled in its own personal comforts, and these provide reason enough for living. Even the need for religion is comparatively unknown to a person of no intelligence, and if it does arise, it is very easily satisfied. A stupid person has an infinite capacity for self-adoration. If a woman chooses to believe in God, it is for one reason only. She wants to go to heaven. And what, after all, is the dear Lord but yet another man who will arrange things for her? The situation of the intelligent person, i.e. a man, is very different. At first, he welcomes his newfound freedom with a sense of relief, drunk with the vision and perspective of life before him. But the moment he puts this freedom to the test, that is, as soon as he wants to commit a given act which might send him in a given direction, he gets scared. Since he is capable of abstract thought, he knows that each of his acts as a series of possible consequences, not all of which can be predicted. If he decides to act of his own free will, the responsibility will be his alone. At that moment, man would be delighted to cease all activity, but because he is a man, and it is a man's destiny to act, he begins to long for the rules of childhood, to long for someone who will tell him what to do, to give meaning to his now meaningless actions. These actions are meaningless because they serve his comfort. But what does he serve? At this point, he will search for a new deity, one to take the place of his mother, the deity of his childhood. The moment he finds her, he becomes her abject slave. Well, that really is quite an incredible paragraph there. Given the choice, of course, man would prefer a deity that is strong, just, wise, and omniscient, rather like the God of Christians, Jews, and Mohammedans. But as he is an intelligent being, he knows that such a deity cannot exist, that every adult is by definition his own personal deity, who must make his own rules. Every adult, i.e. every man, must satisfy his craving for non-freedom, a regression to a sort of infantile dependency, which gives him pleasure, and he can do this only by imposing rules, deities on himself, which he then sets out to fabricate. When man creates rules, he unconsciously compares experiences with other men. Finding in common with them, he derives generalizations. These rules become laws for future reasonable conduct, in other words, beneficial to someone other than himself. To which he voluntarily subjects himself. The system thus created grow collectively and individually more and more, and soon they are so complex that the individual can no longer oversee them. They achieve autonomy and become divine. One can only believe in these laws just as an inexperienced child must believe in the partly senseless, partly sensible rules of its parents. To trespass carries the threat of exclusion from society and loss of security. Marxism, brotherly love, racism, and nationalism all evolved in this way. A man whose personal need for religion is satisfied by such larger systems will be relatively safe from subjection to the rule of an individual woman. In brackets. The majority of men prefer to subjugate themselves to an exclusive deity, woman. They call this subject love. This sort of personal deity has excellent qualifications for the satisfaction of religious needs. Woman is ever present, and given her own lack of religious need, she is divine, as she continuously makes demands. Man never feels forsaken. She frees him from collective gods, for whose favour he would have to compete with others. He trusts in her because she resembles his mother, the deity of his childhood. His empty life is given an artificial meaning, for his every action is dedicated to her comfort, and later to the comfort of her children. As a goddess, she can not only punish by taking away his sense of belonging, but she can reward as well through the bestowal of sexual pleasure. The most important requirements for woman's divinity are, however, her propensity to masquerade her stupidity. A system must either overwhelm its believers with its greatly superior wisdom or confuse them with its incomprehensibility. As the first possibility is unavailable to women, they take advantage of the second. Their masquerade causes them to appear strange and mysterious to men. Their stupidity makes them inaccessible to scrutiny, while intelligence shows itself in actions that are reasonable and logical, hence permits measurement, predictability and control. Stupidity shows itself in actions that are completely unreasonable, unpredictable, and uncontrollable. Women are protected by a screen of pomp, mummery, and mystification as much as any pope or dictator. They cannot be unmasked and will increase their power, unhindered, gaining strength as they go. In return, man is guaranteed, in the long term, a divinity in which he can deeply believe. That's the end of that quite short chapter. Incredible again, every chapter is absolutely mind-blowing. It's a very interesting thing. I mean, you know, this idea of the reality of a young male child is sort of with his mom, and he constantly relies on her, and so as he gets older, he doesn't know any different, so he sort of quite easily falls into the spell of a woman, really. And I think one of the chapters said that the woman hardly even notices the man, and I think that is probably quite true, because she's so wrapped up with herself, and thus the female solipsism, which is quite difficult to witness if you realise about it. It's quite difficult to witness it, I think you often see fully grown men. And, they see them in the street, and they're sort of, the woman is his mum, really. That's the fact. She cooks and cleans and, irons for him, and it's almost like he's a child and he doesn't know any different. All he has to do is go to work and earn the money, bring in the money, of course. And so that's really a terrible indictment of the society we live in, that men are just treated as invisible, almost. And, that is probably because they are always there to sort of mop up woman's mistakes. They're always going to be around, and they're always going to be there. She never has to worry, because a man will always be there, so they become pretty much invisible, really. I think the only time that a woman is really interested in a man is when she's in the nesting phase, after she's had her party years, and she's looking to settle down. Those are the most dangerous times for a man, really. I think it could be any age, really. The sort of 20 to 30 bracket, I think, is the most dangerous time, where a woman will sort of tie down a man and That's, partly why I read this book, because I want to try to, get this out to as many as the people as I can. Try to get the younger people, the younger guys, to understand the dynamics of what goes on, and this the cock carousel is quite shocking, really, because I think all girls do it, all girls ride the carousel, and so it's just a matter of time before she's had so many that she really doesn't value a man at all. So I think that's why in the history that society has put such store in a girl who's a virgin, because I think Coach Greg Adams said after three it's over, really. She can't really pair bond properly. And so I think we live in some very, very dark times, really, I think, for being a man. And it's just so important to wake up these younger guys to the reality. And this book is the ultimate, really. The ultimate wake up for every man. And so, I think it's a wonderful, wonderful book. Okay, I'll sign off there and look forward to seeing the next chapter.